song may sound familiar. It's
Hello.
Ringo Starr. Hello there, Nancy.
Hello, Fargo.
Nancy Lee Andrews, our special guest tonight on KFGO. And the hair is happening. A dose of rock and roll. And that song you're hearing, of course, the great Ringo Starr. And It Don't Come Easy, one of his many, many hits. And Nancy has put together a book called A Dose of Rock and Roll, and she's photographer by trade, but model to start with. So let's get back to the very beginning. Model to start with, right?
That's right. I was a model to start with. I was just out of high school, and I went over to Manhattan to make a little summer money and wound up working a lot back in around 1966, 67. I can't remember. That's how old I am.
Come on now. Come on now.
And so I started working, and Eileen Ford picked me up, and I started working with these great photographers, you know, just watching them with their craft and becoming incredibly interested, more interested in what they were doing than what I was doing, which is standing there waiting for them.
Did the bug bite you right away then? Did you get to the camera right away and start taking photographs?
No. I asked a lot of questions for a few years, and then Milton Green, who's such a great photographer, he did all the great shots of Marilyn Monroe. I worked a lot for him, and one day I was just asking so many questions. After the shoot, he said, "Here, here's a camera. I'm going to show you how to load it. Go take some photographs and shut up." and I brought the film back, and we processed it black and white, and then we looked at it, and he critiqued me, and he was just so helpful. I mean, I was so young, and he said, you know, he said, I think you've got an eye for people. And that's where you know, the passion really started.
And obviously it's worked for you, because you've been in the business for quite some time.
Oh yeah, it was a passionate hobby for many years, and then when I met Ringo, and he had a tremendous passion, and probably still does, as we know, you know, for photography and imagery. He and I just, you know, when you look through the book, you can tell we were just a bunch of posers for each other.
You know, we were just talking about this today too, how strange this was, but you know what happened on this date 28 years ago?
No.
John Lennon was killed.
This is the eighth.
The eighth, yeah.
You're absolutely right.
And we were going, wow. She says, did you plan that? And I said, I guess, be honest with you, no.
Wow.
I said, we just booked it. Well, it was a date open for both of us.
Wow.
And it was on this date back in
1980. John, oh my God, you're absolutely right. You know, and I was with May Pang on Saturday. We were doing a book signing. We did two book signings out on Long Island, and I did a book signing in Manhattan on Friday and on that Thursday. And we always support each other, you know, in our book signings, and we do things together. And we talked about that. We talked about that at dinner, and we said, "Hey, you know, it's coming up." And she said, "I know."
Before we should explain to some of the folks who may not know who May Pang is.
Oh yes, May Pang. She worked for John and Yoko for like 3 years. She was one of their assistants. And then when John took his sabbatical from Yoko, or she took her sabbatical from him, depending on where you're looking from, they actually fell in love and spent over 18 months together, and lived out in California and in New York. And, she was sort of the lost weekend girl, but when you think about it, it was the most productive time in John Lennon's solo career. When you think about it, he had his first number one hit,
mm-hmm.
and only number one hit. He produced Harry Nilsson. He worked with Phil Spector on the Rock and Roll album. He did the Pussycats album with Harry. He did Walls and Bridges. I mean, he was a working boy. So that's May.
6:22 here at KFGO. So it was John that introduced you, Nancy Lee Andrews, to Ringo.
That's right. They set me up. I had met Ringo briefly at the of the house that Harry and George had rented down, Harry Nilsson and John Lennon had rented down at the beach. And it was like a rock and roll house, but a family house. You know, they'd have barbecues. It was Mal Evans' birthday, and that's where I met Ringo briefly. And a couple of months, and he was estranged from his wife at the time. And a couple of months later, John used to keep his and May's car in my garage when he went out of town. So he calls me up. He goes, "Hey, Nan, come in and bring the car to the Beverly Wilshire." And when I opened the door, there was Ringo. And John's like giving me a wink through his glasses. You know, I'm going, "Oh, boy." So I guess Ringo hounded him or something.
How was he back in the early days? I mean, was he, you know, was he just a guy that was, you know, like you say, love at first sight? Was he, did he come right after you then?
He says it was love at first sight, and he came after me. In fact, once after that first night, he just didn't want me out of his sight. And I was totally smitten. I mean, what a cutie, what a charmer. Those big blue eyes.
And he now he did have a couple of kids too, right? With the Marine, so there's going to be children around then too, right?
Oh yeah, there's three children: Zach, Jason, and Lee. And we spent a lot of time with the children. They'd always come over and spend a month in the summer, a month in Christmas, and we were in Europe. They would come over to Monte Carlo and spend long weekends with us. Lots of time with the children. And what I love about that is that it reflects that in the book. What a dad he was, the family man.
There are some great pictures of him and the kids in here.
Mm-hmm. There are. My favorite one is the one of them in bed, all of them in
yes.
bed. He's like telling them a story. It's so cute.
We're talking with Nancy Lee Andrews. The book is called A Dose of Rock and Roll. And she is photographer and former girlfriend of Ringo Starr. And she has many, many photographs in here that have obviously, you know, have never been seen. Here's my question. Where have they been? I mean, you don't keep them in a shoebox up in your closet, do you? Where have they been?
Well, I would say storage boxes. I've got thousands of pictures. Because we were together and for almost 6 years and engaged the last three to be married. And so, you know, I was a girl with a camera around my shoulder, and I've got thousands of pictures. It was very hard to narrow. I mean, the book was up to 500 pages in the beginning, and then we just had to cut, you know.
Were they camera shy? I mean, you know, or did they enjoy being in front of the camera? Not just Ringo, but any of the rock stars that you feature in your book.
Well, you know, because we were all such good friends and it was a family situation, nobody was intimidated by me pulling up my camera and going, "Oh God, I love that. Stay right there." You know, there was no intimidation and no problem. And then there were times when I knew, you know, you just know not to put a camera in someone's face.
Were there, you know, you're going to get folks commenting too, the drugs, the drinking, you know, it was the rock and roll life, if you will.
I see. Yes. I mean, my God, there must be, you know, an encyclopedia of stories about all those guys for those kind of things.
But what I noticed, though, I guess the direction I was going with that, I noticed that some of the, you feature various artists, you have a little section for each of them amongst mm-hmm. the book. But I noticed a lot of, you know, the dates, like, for example, Keith Moon, 1947 to 1978. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, that's got to sit kind of differently with you when you put pictures like that together, isn't it?
Yeah, it you know, you go through a broken heart all over again while putting pictures like that of Keith Moon together. And I wanted to put pictures in that showed him not banging on drums, but as a man, you know. A man in a toga. They were filming. We went down to the beach because they were down there doing some outtake filming for The Kids Are All Right. And he comes out with a sheet with his neck cut out and a sheet and carrying a book on philosophy to walk down the beach. It was just great. He was, you know, Keith Moon was his own man, that's for sure.
Let's talk about some of the other folks that are in here. I want to talk about Donovan Leitch. I really enjoyed his music. What kind of guy was he?
Oh, God. You know, I love Donovan and his wife, Linda. I just was in Las Vegas at the Beatlefest with them, fans for the Beatles, that festival they do. And I hadn't seen him in about 10, 15 years. And it was just like we picked right up, you know, had dinner, had breakfast. We all just sort of hung out together. Donovan is such a wonderful man. He's a real mischievous, intellectual, free spirit. You know, you'll be sitting there in a couch, and there's always a guitar at his hand, always. And he'll always pick it up and just start to play as you have a conversation. He's like making music with your conversation.
I noticed you wrote about him, that Donovan, I think it was, you said something like, when he was in front of the camera, he never gave you the same look twice.
He never gave me what? I'm sorry?
The same look twice. There was always something different about him.
Well, he's so fluid, you know? He has this theme running in his head, so he just continues, and I just keep clicking the camera. You know, we have a little bit of talk, a little bit of conversation, a little fantasy for him to think about, and suddenly, you know, he's just in his own element, and all I have to do is click the shutter.
Well, listen, we have to take a break for news coming up here. What we're going to do is we're going to let you go for a few minutes, if you don't mind, because I know you're on a cell phone right now. We'll call you back. We'll call you back. But if folks would like to ask you about some of these guys, could we take a couple of phone calls?
Absolutely.
Very good. I will talk to you in a little bit there, Nancy. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Call you back in about five or so. Okay. That's Nancy Lee Andrews. Bye-bye. A Dose of Rock and Roll is the name of the book. It's unbelievable. You got to see it. And she will join us again after the news, which is coming up now right here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. We're back at the Harris Happening. Monday Night Football coming up at the top of the hour here at KFGO. Bob Harris here along with Nancy Lee Andrews. A Dose of Rock and Roll is the name of the book. Nancy, a photographer.
Hi.
How are you doing there? We're back. Photographer who is now putting out this book of some of the great rock and roll artists of our time that she was associated with back in the 70s. I played George Harrison just a little bit there because I think he was probably nothing against Ringo, but I think he was my favorite Beatle. What kind of guy was he?
He was really very gentle and very wonderful, and had a quality about him that, you know, he was very mischievous as well. You know, he had a quality about him that was always, I got a secret, you know, I don't know what it was, but incredibly gentle and generous and, God, you know, what a talent.
What I liked about him anyway, that, you know, when Lennon and McCartney wrote together, there was great music. When they wrote separately, I mean, you know, it was good music, but, you know, it just wasn't what the guys had together. But George seemed to put down stuff in music that was, you know, and for the most part was always a good song, always a great hit.
I agree. George had such a, they each all individually had such a special quality. And I love the songs. I loved All Things Must Pass, one of my favorite albums of all time. And I love the songs that he wrote for Ringo as well.
Did Ringo, Ringo obviously got along with him very well too then, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Even though what happened with Ringo's wife, for some reason, you know, the English are very proper. They can handle all that drama. I think they were like, you know, they were a band of brothers. Those guys, sometimes they didn't talk to each other. Sometimes they did. Most of it, but they could say the horrible things about each other. But just let anybody else try and say something about one of them, and boy, they'll just jump all over you.
By the way, if you have a question for Nancy about the Beatles or any one of the artists that we've been talking about, 237-5948, 1-800 880-5346. That's our phone numbers here at KFGO. Cell phone callers, #KFGO, #5346. Or you can also email us at studio@KFGO.com. Here's the question I've got for you. You were with him.
Okay.
You were with Ringo for 6 years. Three of them, you were engaged.
Yes, was it, the last three.
Did you ever have an inkling during that time you were with them that there might possibly be a reunion?
Absolutely.
There was talk about that, huh?
There was. There was talk about that. May and I were discussing this just on last Thursday night. We were talking about how John wanted to do it, Paul wanted to do it. They all wanted to. I think it was because when they broke up and it was finally the contract was signed and they all had their autonomy, then there was no pressure for them to get back together except to get back together and play music and have a good time. And yes, there was. I think there was talk of that up until the time John died.
Was it just timing that didn't get them together then, or what? Why didn't that happen?
I think it was timing. All four guys got so busy individually that it was timing. And then there was little rifts here and there. John, Paul, George, Paul, Ringo, Paul.
I noticed you didn't say anything about Yoko in that, because I know there was, you know, the rumor was that some of the guys weren't real happy with John's selection of a wife.
There's always, you know, that myth and that story. But these guys were their own men, you know. She was definitely not the cause of their breakup. They were just antsy to do their own thing.
Ringo has had a good solo career, but was he happy as a Beatle?
I think he was. I think he was. I mean, my God, you know, it was their formative years as musicians. I mean, these guys were conduits for some of the greatest music of our time. Yes, he was happy as a Beatle. I met him when he and I met in '74. He was just starting to promote the Ringo album. It had just come out, or was about to come out, like the following week or something. That's when he and I met. So when he took off on his solo career, I was, you know, lucky enough to be there with him.
This is Nancy Lee Andrews, our special guest tonight on KFGO, Dose of Rock and Roll. We have her for a few more minutes here. I know you have a book signing you're about to attend.
I do. I'm sitting in the car outside the bookstore.
Well, I'll try not to keep you too much longer, but I have to ask you about this.
Yeah.
You added
yeah.
this into the book, and I'm going to ask you why.
All right.
Engelbert Humperdinck in his underwear.
Isn't that wonderful?
well, you may think it's wonderful. I'm kind of scratching my head.
And right next to him is Sonny Bono in a very tight white jumpsuit.
That's right.
It's an Elvis Presley jumpsuit, you know. You know, Ringo was doing it at the Palladium in New York, in L.A. that Christmas. They asked him to come and dress up as Santa Claus and come out on the stage. They were doing like a charity thing for radio and children. And he came out as the surprise Santa Claus, you know, with a big beard on and everything. And backstage, they had like put up curtains with poles in between everybody's little dressing area. and I just sort of slid it open. I saw a slit and I just put my head through. And there was Engelbert Humperdinck sitting in his underwear reading fan letters, you know, from women probably. And I said, "Hi, Engelbert." And he said, "Hello." I said, "Can I take your photo?" He said, "Of course." And he just sat there. I thought it was just, I said, "Well, he's secure. I'm going to." I just took one shot. It was very funny. And that's the shot.
Another picture that I really liked is you, Ringo, Linda, and Paul strolling down the streets of New York. Now, obviously, you didn't take that picture.
No, I didn't. Ringo and I were there. He was working with Arif Martin at Atlantic Records, and we had gone there to do some overdubs, voiceovers, and we're walking down Fifth Avenue because we were staying at the Plaza, and all of a sudden behind me, we hear, Ringo, hey, Ringo. And I go to turn around, and he tightens my arm. He said, don't turn around. Don't ever turn around. You know, I felt like Lot's wife. I turned around, I turned into a pillar of salt. And I couldn't help myself, being the type of person I am. I turned around, and I said, oh, my God, it's Paul. And Paul was on the other side of Fifth Avenue, screaming his name. And he and Linda came running across Fifth Avenue, and the traffic had a lull. And chasing him was this photographer who just had such a great photo op. And he just sort of followed us down Fifth Avenue backwards, going click, click, click. It's a beautiful picture.
Before I let you go, again, I say that, but of all the people, all the great stars that you've got in the book and that you've photographed over your career, anybody who didn't get a chance to stick that camera in front of?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that I would have liked to have, that I even had the camera when we were with them. But again, you have to be selective on your timing timing of pulling up your camera, you know, and clicking that shutter. Mick Jagger, you know, some of the Stones, I would have liked to have gotten photographs of. I would have liked to have gotten more pictures of Eric Clapton.
You know that picture Eric Clapton on your cover, I didn't even recognize him.
I know. This is when he came back in the 461 Oceanside Boulevard concert. You know, we came back for that tour after he'd been out of the business for a while. And I happened to be able, I was like on the side of the stage and backstage, and I took that of him. He was wearing a whistle. Remember the whistle days back in the 70s?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you betcha.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you do. Well, I have about four more minutes if we have any callers calling in.
We lost that one? Okay, changed his mind on that. We did have one, but I guess we changed his mind. He changed his mind on that. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
Future Mrs. Ringo Starr's grandmother lives here. Was your grandma pretty proud? You got a picture of that in your book, too.
Oh, my God. Is that hysterical? You know, the book is really like a personal family photo album of the 70s. And when he and I got engaged, he said to me, he said, where do you want to put it? You want to put it in the New York Times? You want to announce it in the LA Times? I said, I want to announce it in my grandmother's hometown because it's Alabama. That's part of my roots. And I just think the family would love it. And lo and behold, when it went across the wire, when we announced it, and of course it went across the whole AP, but when we announced it, they sent someone out to take a picture of my grandmother with one of the pictures, you know, that she had of us that we sent her.
We do have a caller. We do have a caller now. I want to get to him before you have to take off here. I'm sorry, didn't interrupt you there, Nancy. Dan, you're on with Nancy Lee Andrews. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Dan.
Back when you were with Ringo and around his son Zach, did you have any idea that he would turn into the type of drummer that he is right now? He's currently, of course, out with The Who, and his drumming style is a lot more like Keith Moon than it ever was like his father's.
Yes. You know, we all knew that Zach was a drummer because at the house we always had a drum, as Ringo would say, a kit set up. We had a music room with a piano, a kit, you know, and guitars and amplifiers and stuff. And this great picture of him in the book, he's wearing headphones. He looks like he's trying to, you know, bring a plane into port, these huge headphones. And he's at the drums, and Keith Moon would give him riffs, Jim Keltner, Steve Gadd, his dad. Every great drummer that came through at that time that was a great drummer, for me they were all great, taught Zach. And I absolutely knew he was a drummer then, and he would be when he grew up.
And Keith Moon has such huge shoes to fill. It's quite an honor, and it's quite exciting that he's filling those shoes.
It is. You know, when The Who, I guess it was the Grammys they did a few years ago, they just blew everybody off the stage when they, like 4 or 5 years ago or something like that. And I'm looking at this, and all of a sudden they go to the drummer, and I go, oh, my God, it's Zach. Holy crap, it's Zach.
I saw him on a VH1 performance with them. That must have been half hour long.
Uh-huh.
And I was so impressed by everything that he was doing. But the first thing that I thought of was, you don't hear any Ringo in him whatsoever on at this gig, anyway.
Exactly.
Well, thank you.
It goes to show you what a great drummer that kid is.
Yep. Appreciate your call, Dan.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi.
Dose of Rock and Roll. How are folks going to get this?
Well, you can get Amazon.com. It's at Barnes & Noble. You should be able to get it. And if not, you can order it at Barnes & Noble. And I would say Amazon as well.
You also have a website, don't you? Your own personal website that people can check out?
They can. My own personal website, which is full of a bunch of country people and cowboy hats. Because I live in Nashville, and I've been doing album covers and advertising and publicity down here for the last 15 years. It's nancyleeandrews.com.
Very, very good. And tell me about this Iconic Photos website, too.
Oh, you went there. Iconic Photos, there are so many great photographers that I know, and they don't have their work out there. And I wanted to do an online gallery for them to show their work and for people to be able to buy it. They're signed limited editions on fabulous rag paper that you see in galleries, and for a lot less than what you pay for in a gallery. And that's what iconicphotos.com is, and it's go and check it out. There's some great people, and we're going to be adding, after the first year, we're going to be adding some other great photographers.
And by the way, there's a great shot of Steve McQueen with a shotgun there, too, dressed draped across his shoulders.
Barbara McQueen, his widow, she's got the best photos of him. And Dan Friedman is on the site as well, who did stuff with Steve for his movies. He was a still photographer.
Going to take our final break, and once again, going to have to say goodbye to Nancy Lee Andrews. I think somebody's calling you there. They probably want you to come in and sign some autographs.
Oh, boy.
Thank you again, Nancy.
Okay, thanks.
hold on the phone just 1 second. This is The Harris Happening on KFGO.